Good evening, and welcome to Youth Beat Radio here on 98.3 and 102.1 FM. I'm Nishant Makija, here with Congressman Stivers. Welcome to Youth Beat Radio. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks, Nishant. It's great to be on.
So, Congressman Stivers, my first question I'd like to ask you is, can you tell our listeners about the district that you serve? When were you elected, and what area of Ohio do you represent here in Ohio? And what committees do you serve on as well?
Thanks, Nishant. I am in my third term. I was elected in 2010 in Ohio's 15th district, which has changed since I've represented it. So originally, it was about half of Franklin County, all of Union County, all of Madison County. Then after redistricting in 2011, it changed. So it now encompasses 12 counties, part of Franklin County, all of Madison County, all of Pickaway County, part of Ross County, all of Clinton County, part of Fayette County, all of Fairfield County, all of Perry County, all of Hocking County, all of Morgan County, all of Vinton County, all of are part of Athens County, and I've missed one, I think. What did I miss? Let me think. Those are the, I think I've maybe hit them all. Those are the 12 counties. And so it's a big swath of southeastern and southwestern Ohio. It goes from Columbus down to Athens, down to Chillicothe, and all the way over to Wilmington, and then west to like London and West Jefferson. So it's a lot of rural, about 50% rural now, about 45% suburban. So it includes Upper Arlington and Grandview and Grove City and Hilliard and Pickerington. And it also includes about 5% urban. So I've got the Arena District is in my district, part of Victorian Village, part of German Village. So not as urban as it used to be, much more, but a little urban, a lot of suburban, and some rural. So that's the district I represent, and I sit on the Financial Services and Rules Committees.
Can you tell our listeners about what a committee does and what your committee does specifically?
Thank you. And every committee has different jurisdictions. So the Financial Services Committee has jurisdiction over banking, insurance, securities, and housing legislation. So, you know, what I tell people is if you want to live the American dream, you have to figure out how to finance the American dream, which is why the Financial Services Committee matters so much. And there are 50,000 people in and around my district who work in financial services, whether they work for an insurance company, work for a bank, work in real estate, work in other industries related to the financial services. So it's a big employer in my area. It's also a very important way that all of us, you know, live our own dream, whether we want to buy a car, buy a house, pay for college. All those involve financial transactions, and that's what the Financial Services Committee does. And I'm new to the Rules Committee. I've been on the Financial Services Committee all three terms, but I'm new to the Rules Committee. And I, the Rules Committee is the committee that decides the terms of debate for every bill on the floor and decides what amendments are found in order, what amendments are not found in order, and then decides the rules of debate on the House floor. So every bill comes through the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee can rewrite the bill, can allow amendments on the floor, or could even stop a bill and say we're not sending it to the floor. So it's a very powerful committee, a very small committee. And that's a new assignment for me, but it's great because it allows me to extend my influence beyond the narrow jurisdiction of the Financial Services Committee into things I care about, like health care and energy and international affairs and national defense, because of the things that I've lived in my life and that I care a lot about. So it's a great opportunity to have very broad jurisdiction, and that's why I appreciate being on that committee too. So those are my two committees and what they do.
Awesome. Congressman Stivers, what made you decide to run for Congress? Was there a particular issue that helped you decide to run for Congress?
Well, I really never thought I'd run for Congress. Originally, I always cared about public service. When I was in college at Ohio State, I joined the National Guard. I've been in the National Guard now almost 30 years. I'm a colonel, graduate of the War College, the Army War College from 2012. But I really didn't think I would run for Congress. I thought maybe I'd serve on a local council or maybe like state house or state senate someday. And I took a very interesting path to Congress. I was in the private sector, and one day my state senator, Priscilla Meade decided to retire early. And I got a call from a few folks at the State House who said, hey, we know you've been engaged in and around politics. We know you used to work in the State House when you're in college and right after college. And that's what sort of stoked my interest in public service at some point. And they said, you should apply for this vacancy. So I did. And I got appointed to the State Senate. And that was back in 2003. Served in the State Senate through 2008. And my congresswoman decided to retire. Mm-hmm. And I had initially said no to running for Congress three times. Mm-hmm. And finally decided that the voters deserved a real choice.
So we asked Congresswoman Beatty when we had her on Youth Beat Radio about what helped her get to Congress. And I was wondering if you can tell our audience about what prepared you to get to Congress as well.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, the things that really have prepared me in Congress are the same things that prepared me in for life. And that's my mom and dad raised me with great values of, you know, what's important and family and teamwork and the country and patriotism. And I think that helped a lot. I think being a parent, before I actually came to Congress, my wife and I had a daughter ourselves. Now we have a daughter and a son. Mm-hmm. Being a parent has made a difference too, because it keeps everything in focus about what's important in the next generation and things that prepared.
And it's remarkable how you work with Congresswoman Beatty and Congressman T. Berry here in Central Ohio. And we've never seen anything like this. Is there something that the rest of the country can learn from that?
Well, I think there is. I think the model we have here is unique and great. And obviously, Pat and Joyce and I have known each other a long time in various capacities. They've served together in the legislature originally. I was, you know, at Bank One back then, but I knew them both. And then I ended up coming to the State Senate and working with Joyce. And Pat was already in Congress at that point, so working with Pat as a congressman. And so I've worked with both of them before I was in Congress, and now they're great to work with. Pat's a great mentor and a good role model and a servant leader, and Joyce is just a very grounded, hardworking, smart person who is trying to solve problems and get things done for her constituents. And she's been a great partner, and so has Pat. It's, I think we have a unique model in Central Ohio. I was just at a joint event this morning with the two of them and at the Columbus Board of Realtors. Mm-hmm. And the Columbus Board of Realtors said nowhere else in the country have they been able to get, you know, multiple members of Congress from different parties together on the stage to talk to people and have an open dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to see the work you guys are working on. Are there any news organizations that you like a lot that you'd recommend?
I try to get my news from a variety of sources. I think one of the problems we face in our country being so divided today is people get to choose where they get their news, and conservatives tend to only get their news from Fox News, and liberals tend to only get their news from MSNBC. Right. But I think it's really important that you look at all sources. I get some things from the Wall Street Journal. I get other things from the Huffington Post. I get some things from CNN and MSNBC, and other things from Fox News, and then things from Fox or from network news stations too. So I try to vary where I get my news from, and I would urge your young listeners to do the same thing, because if you only get your news from one source, you're only seeing one side. Your information from multiple sources would be my best advice, and I try to take my own advice in that.
That's very great advice for our youth. Welcome to Youth Beat Radio here on 98.3 and 102.1 FM. I'm Nishant Makija, here with Congressman Stivers. How should youth be engaged in everyday politics? Do they have a role to play in the affairs of the government today? Because some may not have the opportunity to vote.
Right. I think being involved in government is really important. And I was involved before I was able to vote. I was a volunteer for some candidates who were local candidates. My state senator candidate that was a friend of the family, a guy named Cooper Schneider, who later gave me a job as a page at the State House when I was in college at Ohio State. I think getting involved doesn't necessarily mean voting, but when you're able to vote, I would urge everybody to vote. Mm-hmm. It's your franchise. It's your right. You can choose not to exercise that right, but it's certainly your right. And we've had men and women in uniform, you know, either be wounded or die for our rights. And please exercise your rights would be my best advice. But you can get involved with people you know close to your community, whether it's a school board race mm-hmm. or a city council race, or you can get involved in a county race like a county commissioner or something like that, or a state senator, state rep, or even a congressional race. We have a lot of interns in my official office and campaign office, mm-hmm. and I would love to have any of your listeners volunteer on either the official side or the campaign side if they are interested in interning either in our Hilliard office on the official side or even in Washington, D.C. They can call us at 614-771-4968. And if they're interested in maybe volunteering on the campaign side, we'd love to have that too. Our campaign number is 614-358-0800. So, you know, I would urge all your listeners, if they're interested, come spend time with us. I'd love to meet them and love to have their help and support, and I'll work hard every day to make them proud.
And that seems like a great opportunity for our youth listeners. Congressman Stivers, let me ask you about some legislation. You have reintroduced the Homeless Children and Youth Act. Can you tell me more about this legislation?
Thanks, Nishant. It's a really important bill. Mm-hmm. So today, the Department of Housing and Urban Development does not include homeless youth in the definition of homeless people. Mm-hmm. And the effect of that is we have homeless youth either couch surfing from friend's place to friend's place to stranger's place, or staying, God knows where, mm-hmm. Because there are no resources to help them because they're excluded from the definition. So what the bill simply does is fixes the definition at HUD of what a homeless person is and includes homeless youth.
Well, that's great legislation there. And another question I have for you regarding some youth issues. A lot of our listeners are concerned about college debt. A lot of kids go into a lot of debt. A lot of kids don't know what to do. Do you know what can be done to solve this issue?
I do think there's a bunch of things we can do on it. So Congress has been involved in this a little bit. Pell Grant, since 2000, the amount of Pell Grants have gone up almost five times. So there is money in Pell Grants, so there is opportunities to apply for aid. But one of the other disturbing trends in education is that there's a lot of money that colleges and universities are spending outside the classroom. Mm-hmm. And in the last 9 years, well, not the last, since from 2000 to 2009, the last figures available, the amount of administration in colleges and universities has increased. Number of administrators, not just dollars, 60%. And the cost associated with that has actually gone up like three times.
Wow.
So they're putting expensive resources outside of the classroom, mm-hmm. and we need to hold folks accountable. So one of the things we've already done to help reduce student debt was the reduction of interest rates, student loan interest rates, which I was involved in and helped get passed last year. It was a bipartisan effort. We finally got it done, and it reduced the cost of student loans. Mm-hmm. But we need to ultimately reduce the amount of student loans people take. I'm co-chair of the Financial Literacy Caucus, and the thing I think we need to do is when we reintroduce and reauthorize the Higher Education Act, which will be in the next 12 to 18 months, mm-hmm. we need to put provisions in there that create more transparency for students and parents about what colleges and universities are spending mm-hmm. and what they're spending in the classroom, so you can see where they're spending their money And you can also see what people are paying to go to these colleges, because that's the other thing. Nobody really knows what it costs to go to a college, because almost nobody pays the list price. It's worse than buying a car.
Okay, great. Just a few more questions I wanted to ask you. Yesterday, actually, you hosted the high school students from the 15th Congressional District to participate in the Congressional Art Competition. What was the goal of the Congressional Art Competition? Can you tell our listeners? I mean, this seemed really interesting.
Well, thanks. You know, it was started in 1982. It's now held in almost every congressional district in the country. And we did a joint art competition with Pat Tiberi and Joyce Beatty. Each of us had our own individual winners, mm-hmm. but we did it at the Columbus Museum of Art. So almost 500 pieces of art, 247 of those from my district. So I'm proud that over half the pieces were, almost half the pieces were from my district. But we had a lot of great, talented young folks. And I think we need to celebrate creativity. We need to celebrate the arts. We celebrate a lot of athletic championships and academic championships. It's really important that we celebrate creativity and that we celebrate artists because they're what give us our quality of life. And so I was really proud to be involved in that. Joyce Beatty and Pat Tiberi and I brought it together a couple of years ago. We've done it at the Columbus Museum of Art. We talked yesterday, and I think we're going to try to make it like a week-long thing next year where it's open to the public. I mean, this was open to the public, but it was a one-night-only show. Mm-hmm. We'd love to make it a thing where it's actually a traveling exhibit for about a week to highlight the creativity and talent of these amazing young people and let it be just like any other art exhibit. I mean, there were incredibly talented artists there. They just happened to be very young.
Welcome to Youth Beat Radio here on 98.3 and 102.1 FM. I'm Nishant Makija, here with Congressman Stivers. So your district has a lot of rural areas. What are some of the differences you see in the needs of rural and urban youth?
Well, I think there are things that are the same, but there are things that are different, obviously, between rural and urban youth. So the more rural folks, there is a digital divide in this country. They don't have quality high-speed internet, and we need to solve that problem. That's why I support Connect America, which is a program that helps make that happen. But I also support making sure that we bring the private sector's assets to bear on solving that problem. And that's an issue that urban folks don't really have. You know, I live in suburban Columbus and urban Columbus, and we have great high-speed internet here, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of wireless networks here, and it's easy to get access to information, and it's how a lot of people get information these days. But if you go to rural parts of my district, if you go to Vinton County or Morgan County, it's really hard to get high-speed internet, and that is an issue. There are obviously educational issues, too. Your urban folks tend to be in urban school districts that sometimes have concentrated poverty and have unique demographic issues, have less dual parents where they're higher incidence of a single family household. They need more interventional services. So there are certainly needs there. Mm-hmm. They tend to have, but they also tend to have a higher student or teacher-student ratio. So student-teacher ratio, so they don't get as much individual attention in urban areas. Mm-hmm. In the rural areas, they may have a lower ratio, so they get more a little more individual attention, but there's a little less funding. So I have Perry County, which originally started the school funding lawsuit because there was real inequity in our school funding in Ohio for a long time, and your success in education for a long time, and I would say still today, depends on the zip code in which you happen to live. Right. And that's a real shame. And I believe in equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome, but to have equality of opportunity, you have to have the same educational access. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I think we've got to work harder to make sure we bridge the divide. And certainly there are different problems facing urban youth from rural youth, But and now I get a more chance to deal with rural folks because 50% of my district is rural. But I certainly have a lot of urban folks still in my district, and I know we need to bridge the gap and solve both the urban and rural problems. That's why working together with Joyce Beatty is such a good thing, because you know we both have unique perspective on a lot of these problems and can come together to find a way to solve both problems.
Absolutely. So Youth Beat, as we've been talking, focuses on youth issues, and we've talked a lot about a few youth issues regarding homelessness and college debt, but these are just some of the issues, and I'd like to know if you feel that Congress has focused enough on our youth.
You know, I think we probably have not, and I think we've got a lot more work to do. If folks will engage with us, please call my office. We'd love to talk with you and find out what else we can and should be working on, because, you know, it's sometimes hard when somebody's younger than voting age to know what issues are most important to them. But I've worked hard to solve the national debt, which I think is an issue because the young folks are the ones who will be left holding that bag. I've worked hard to try to solve and work on college affordability, because I know it's an important determinant in our future success. We've got to make college affordable so our young folks can go to college and then get the job that they want and move forward in their lives. And of course, I've worked on other issues that matter to youth, like the Homeless Youth Act and other things. So I think there are a wide variety of issues, and I don't pretend that Congress is doing a good enough job on any of them. In fact, I was really disappointed in the number of bills overall, not just youth issues, that passed out of Congress last year. It was one of the lower numbers we've ever seen in our republic. And I think it really bears to what we talked about earlier about how we need more people that come to the middle and work to solve problems, whether they're a Republican or a Democrat. And I think that's the uniqueness of our Central Ohio model with Pat Tiberi and Joyce Beatty and I.
So my last two questions I'd like to ask you, are there any other issues in Congress that you're working on?
I actually have about 20 bills that I've co-sponsored. I've got an American Energy Act that will pay for infrastructure in our country, billions of dollars of infrastructure, and ensure that we have affordable, abundant energy into the future. I have a bill that will help wounded warriors, our folks who have served our country that might have PTSD, get access to a therapy dog. I've got a bill that deals with making sure that people can get access to home credit. I've got a bill that deals with issues involving Dodd-Frank and making sure that consumers don't get higher costs than they should because of regulations that are not maybe completely thought through. So we're working on a whole bunch of bills. Those are just some examples of the 20 bills I'm working on. Last Congress, we were lucky enough to pass two bills into law. The Congress before that, we had a few that also passed into law, and I'm hoping that this Congress, I'll have two or three of those 20 that will get enacted into law, and I'm working hard to make sure that we find out what the problems facing our constituents are, try to address those problems head on, and that I work my tail off to try to solve those problems in a way that makes sense, that folks can be proud of.
And finally, if someone would like to visit you in Washington, could they have a tour of the Capitol, visit the House floor, and how would they go about doing that, Congressman Stivers?
Absolutely, they can. We'd love to give them a tour of the Capitol. We do that every day for folks. Love to host folks in my office, and if I'm in town, I'd love to meet them. So two ways to do that is call my office in Washington, 202-225-2015, or go to Stivers, S-T-I-V-E-R-S, .house.gov. So stivers.house.gov. I don't do the www's, but www.stivers.house.gov. And they can request a tour there as well. But if anybody wants to go to Washington, and whether they want to go to Arlington National Cemetery, they want to go to the White House, they want to go to the Capitol, they want to go to the Kennedy Center, there's free shows every night at the Kennedy Center in Washington. We'd love to help them plan any tours they want. I've got a guy there, Tim Alford, who's from Lancaster, Ohio, who's there in Washington, and that's one of the big things he does is help people who are coming through town, as well as helping constituents with casework every day. So Again, call our office 202-225-2015 or go online at stivers.house.gov.
Congressman Stivers, thank you so much for being with us here on Youth Beat Radio. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Shant. It's great to be on, and hope all the listeners will engage our office in one way or another. We're here to serve you. I work for you, and I want you to communicate what you care about, and any way we can help you, that's why I'm here.
Thank you.
Youth Beat Radio is funded by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at Ohio State University, the Ohio State University, and the Ohio State University Extension's Outreach Program, as well as the Puffin Foundation West and private sponsors. Check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu or follow us on our Twitter page or our Facebook page.